vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flames. And why do I get?
Welcome back to it on a Monday. You know, gone for a week or more here. And I would catch, you know, a little bit of news here and there. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I read something about how Dana Nessel basically has appointed herself again to be judge, jury, and executioner here, sidestepping basically. I thought that there was a good conversation going on between Enbridge and the governor, Governor Whitmer, about how to proceed with creating this tunnel that will create a safe pathway for energy here in Michigan, because there's so much concern over Line 5, despite the fact there hasn't been any actual problem with Line 5 for more than 60 years. But okay, so Enbridge stepped up, said we'll spend $500 million. We'll build you a tunnel beneath the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac, make sure that everything's safe. And that Dana Nessel, for whatever reason, won't let this go, has appointed herself to be in charge, it appears. Joining me, Ryan Duffy with Enbridge and the communications team. Ryan, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing well, but I come back and I ask myself, who's actually governor? I mean, who's actually, is it Dana Nessel that thinks she's governor? Anyhow, I've been gone for a bit of time now, so help me out. Give me a status check. What is the status of the tunnel project right now today?
Sure. Well, from our perspective, we remain very committed to the tunnel project. We and a lot of people around the state we've been hearing from, and really the region, are in agreement. It's a common sense solution. It's really the best solution for long term meeting the energy needs of the state, making that safe pipeline even safer. And we believe the most effective path forward is to really focus on the permitting and the construction of the tunnel. So we're doing that by continuing with our engineering and our geotechnical work, which is going to cost us $40 million this year, but we're committed to that. And that would keep us on schedule to finish the project as soon as possible. So, of course, we're disappointed the state chose not to accept our offer to advance with talks on the tunnel. You know, we offered to even suspend litigation and talk about jointly appointing an independent Michigan-based person to help with our discussions. And then we made commitments to look at additional safety measures in the Straits while we would be constructing the tunnel. So that, unfortunately, didn't go anywhere, but we still remain open to discussions with the governor. We still hope we can come to an agreement on that.
Well, you still believe that the deal you made with the Snyder administration is legally binding? I mean, that would be my position if I were you. Do you believe that?
We do, absolutely. I mean, if you look back at that, that was something we worked hard on with the Snyder administration. The legislature voted on it and saw it and approved it, and it was done really in a bipartisan way. So we do believe that, and we've asked the court to also take a look at that part of it.
So when you look at the legal arguments then coming from the attorney general here, which doesn't seem to be in line with what the administration here wants, it appeared to me that the governor wanted to continue with conversations. I mean, there were some points of contention, but fine, you're still talking. And then the attorney general acting, it appears, on her own has done this. What do you think of the legal arguments? Have we seen this sort of thing elsewhere in the country before? Is this kind of a unique situation?
It is kind of unique, but, you know, the arguments raised by the attorney general, they're not super surprising, given that various groups, you know, we've seen here and there have been making similar arguments over the years regarding Line 5 and the Straits, and those really never went anywhere. As you know, we've been operating Line 5 there for more than 60 years under that 1953 easement, which was approved by the state of Michigan, and our line operates under strict regulatory federal requirements and safely has been delivering energy. And now we remain committed to the tunnel project, and we're going to vigorously defend our right to continue to operate Line 5 until a replacement is in place. There are some cases around the country challenging infrastructure and pipelines here and there, but this case really is unique in that it's challenging a pipeline that's been safely operating at the Straits for more than 60 years in full accordance following that 1953 easement. And so there hasn't been any change in the operating condition of the pipeline. There hasn't been any change in the law to support the state's position that Line 5 should no longer continue to operate. And the lawsuit's going to take some time to work through the court system. And in the meantime, we're going to continue to safely operate Line 5.
Well, you know, and let me ask you this. Ryan Duffy here with Enbridge. It seems, as we have both concluded here, it's very unusual what the Attorney General here is doing. It's not something that's normal by any means. Usually the Attorney General would work in conjunction with the administration, certainly if they're the same political party, which they are. They're both Democrats. But they're not working together. And then I know just before I was gone for a few days, a letter came from the governor of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine, penning a letter to Gretchen Whitmer, the governor here, saying, listen, if you allow this line to be shut down, the impacts are not just on you. They're on the state of Ohio and refineries we have here that could be very detrimental. It'll mean airline fuel at Detroit Metro Airport would be basically cut off. It would mean detrimental problems for the province of Ontario and Canada, our partner to the north. So these impacts, it's not just like it's a Michigan thing. It's a regional issue that has great and far-reaching effects, doesn't it?
It does, for sure. And we've been seeing that support come in from all over. The governor of Ohio, like you said, the mayor of Toledo. You know, these refineries in Toledo, the East Toledo refinery, has said that a disruption to Line 5 could force the closure of the facility. So there are wide-ranging impacts. And that really is why, you know, overall, you look at it, pipelines are federally regulated because, I mean, you wouldn't want Indiana cutting us off at Michigan, or you know, you don't want Michigan cutting off Ohio and things like that. So that's why it's intended to be federally regulated, because there are such big regional impacts to these things.
Can you give us any insight, Ryan, any at all, on where you think the governor is in her thinking and her team's thinking, her administration, any insight at all on what she might be thinking and whether or not she thinks these court cases could go longer than, you know, actually building a tunnel?
Well, that's really the key question. You know, we're aligned with the governor on a lot of different pieces of this. We're both wanting to protect the Great Lakes. We both think the tunnel is an option to do this, to continue to deliver energy, to protect the Straits and the Great Lakes and our natural resources. So we're just worried we don't want to lose an opportunity to do the best we can for Michigan residents. And so we're willing to continue to talk. We've reached out to her office. We want to land on a solution that's best for anyone. We've extended the olive branch, offering to possibly, you know, use a mediator to help and some of those kind of things. So we remain open to that. And for us, like I said, we're focused on doing the work we can on the project. And I can tell you, this week, actually, we have our special vessel. It's docked in Detroit right now. It's on its way, headed up to the Straits. And so, and that's a big piece of the project. This is the specialty vessel. It's called the Highland Eagle. It's going to be doing the rock drilling for the rock samples up in the Straits for the next few months. And so it's a big vessel, 236 feet long, 52 feet wide, and it has what's called a dynamic positioning system. So it holds the ship there in position so it doesn't even have to anchor as it does this drilling in the Straits. And they use these kind of vessels, you know, for when they need to do those huge wind turbines or
sure.
bridges.
Sure.
Or subsea tunnels and those kind of things. So we've got that in Detroit now, and we're keeping going and moving forward.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate your optimism, because there is no better solution that I've seen anywhere. I think people agree with that. Ryan Duffy from the Enbridge Communications team. Ryan, keep us informed, my friend. It's an important undertaking. We appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right, I will. Thank you.
There you have it. Ryan Duffy, everybody. Quick break. We'll be right back.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at DTEenergy.com. DTE.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.